David, thank you very much for a very clear reading of Deuteronomy chapter 13. I appreciate it very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good to see all of you here this morning. I was just thinking, such a rich opportunity for us to be together. And my dear friends, Rich and Paula Ladd, are here with us this morning. I feel almost kin to Paula, because as you know, my dear friend and mentor, R.J. Stevens, who I learned so much from, not just musically, but also the Word of God and how to live, how to act, I learned from him. And Paula is his daughter. If you don't know Paula and Rich, I suggest strongly that you get to know them. They're wonderful people. What does God desire from us? Now, I want you to think about that for just a second. What does God desire from you and from me? Does he desire anything? From the time God created man, he has always required the very same thing from his creation, from us, men and women. Do not worship idols or build monuments, spiritual edifices, or put your faith in your own great feats, or organize and perform some elaborate rituals. Just be obedient to me. The times change, societies evolve. Man, I suppose, grows in his knowledge, and some their relationship with the only true and living God. But nothing changes this fact. God desires simple obedience from man. Obey his word, plain and simple. In the Old Testament, God promised his people protection, blessings, land, and a future Messiah. He also required them to respond to him in faith. Now, it doesn't take long, ladies and gentlemen, for you to go through the pages of the Old Testament, and you can clearly see that over and over and over, this theme resounds. And that faith that he requires of his people was expressed in obedience to his moral and ritual laws. In the New Testament age in which we live, God has promised all things which the Savior has made possible. Forgiveness, righteousness, hope, are the expectation of eternal life, insight into truth, power to overcome sin. And in the same way, he requires this response of faith for man to attain these things that he has promised him. And that faith is still expressed in obedience to his word, to his commands. Now, not obedience to the law given to Moses. No, obedience to the words of Christ as they were given to the apostles and as they were recorded for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. You are familiar, aren't you, with Romans chapter 10 and verse 17? Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. Amen, brother. Times and circumstances change. But God's expectation of us here today in this Bel Air church remain the same. Simple obedience to His commands, given to us in a love for which you cannot wrap your arms around. His word describes for us. He's not asking us to do something that we don't know how to do or that we need to speculate on how to do. His word describes and illustrates exactly how it is that He wants us to obey Him. What He wants, what He desires from us. And this is what I want to discuss this morning. What is it that we are to do? What are we to obey as God's people? How is it that we are to obey His commands? The book of Deuteronomy provides information, I think, to every generation regarding these questions, what to obey. And if you've got your Old Testaments open to Deuteronomy chapter 13, 1 through 18 that we just read, you can follow along. This passage gives a clear example of the standard for God's people. These few verses explain, I believe, clearly what God expects us to obey in every circumstance that we might have to deal with in our life. Deuteronomy is the book that records what Moses said to the people as he was preaching or in preparing them to enter the promised land. The greatest danger that these children of Israel, God's people, will face will not be foreign enemies. The greatest danger will not be a hostile environment that they have to deal with, because God Almighty said clearly, I promise to take care of you in regard to that. There will be no enemies to overtake you. You have no need to fear hostility. The greatest danger that they would face would be the loss of their faith caused by disobeying God's word. Moses knew that if they lost their faith, they would lose God's protection. They would lose God's blessing. And so he instructs them how to guard their faith. Guard their faith in the face of foreign gods and pagan practices that were all around them. And Moses is telling them that God expects obedience. He expects obedience to His word. Nothing has changed. He expects obedience to His word, and only His word. Not just part of it, not just some of it, all of it, and only it. This is such an important passage because we must understand that the point of the passage is that obedience to God's word is the ultimate test that someone or something is correct and pleasing to God. Now, I thought about that a lot before I wrote it to say it. So I'm going to say it again because I think this is the crux of the thing. The point of this passage is that obedience to God's word is the ultimate test that someone, and I don't care who they are, that someone or something is correct and pleasing in the sight of God. And I must, ladies and gentlemen, I must stand on that. It is important that we stand on it. Now, Moses gives three reasons why we should obey God's word above all else. And one of those reasons is that God's word is more accurate than signs or wonders. Look at chapter 13, 1 through 5. We just got finished reading it. We don't have to read it all, okay? But if somebody speaks to you and says, let's go down after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to their words or the prophet or the dreamer, whoever it is, for the Lord your God is testing you. He's testing you. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and you shall fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, and you shall obey his voice. Even if a sign or a wonder or a prophecy were to come true, if it contradicts the word of God, the miracle and the prophet are to be rejected. When people base their faith on so-called miracles, and I've known a lot in my career who've gone to tent meetings and gone to these great performances of preachers who have some kind of a great following and a great name, and they will go and they will expound upon all of the things that their wisdom directs them to try to teach. I have seen people go to those services and come out of there thinking that they have witnessed something great, something true, a miracle. Somebody's walking that wasn't walking. When people base their faith on these so-called miracles, visions, there was a lady when I was growing up next door, and she said without question that Jesus Christ was standing at the foot of her bed and gave her a new revelation. Well, that's not what the scriptures teach, is it? But she believed that. Or these modern day, what I call fake prophets. You got several right down the street who fill stadiums and preach to millions on TV. But their message and their methods oppose God's word. If that's the case, and you see them on TV, or you witness them in a tent meeting, or you see them at some great edifice here in Houston, Texas, let me tell you without question, ladies and gentlemen, that if their message and their methods oppose God's word, they are fake. People are blinded by flashy displays and signs and these big musical performances. I've seen some of them here lately, the young people. And the music, I must admit, is good, but they call that worship, and that doesn't follow the prescription. The Word of God is the final judge of what is authentic and what is false. It will judge. Another reason why we should obey God's word above all else is that the word must prevail over peer pressure. Look at verses 6 through 11. So if your brother or your son or your mother or your grandmother or your daughter or your aunt or your uncle or whoever it is, the wife of your bosom or the friend that is of your own soul secretly entices you saying, let us go serve other gods, which you have not known, that have not come from Jehovah our God, neither you nor your fathers, the gods of the people which are all around you, near you, or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other. You shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people, and you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Loyalty to tradition. Look, I want to say this as kindly as I possibly can, because I love all of you. And I want us to go to heaven when we die. Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Do you believe that there's a God Almighty who has created this world and everyone in it, and the stars and the beauty of the mountains and the sea coast and the air that we breathe? Loyalty to tradition or family. That's a good thing, except when it prevents one from obeying God's word. Listen to me. In this passage, the people were instructed to destroy anyone, even family, who would cause them to disobey God's word. Obedience to God's word should override emotions. It can be a very emotional thing when your grandmother or your mother or your brother or someone comes to you and says, yes, but we have always worshiped God this way. We have always been a part of this denomination. Our family for generations. And I get that. I understand how difficult that must be. And the emotion of it. But obedience to God's word should override those considerations. It should override family tradition and history. And God's word should take precedent over the decisions of certain family members, whether they be the grandfather or the father. Scripture teaches us that anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not what? Is not worthy of me. Now, this is not easy when loved ones are involved. Your mom, your dad, your grandmother. I get it. I understand that. But this is not a new issue, folks. This is not a new problem. This didn't just spring up. But for eons, from the time that God created this earth, this has been something that people have had to deal with. And so here's the question. Here's the elephant in the room. What advantage is it, friends? What advantage is it for our family members or for us if we disobey God's word and lose our soul? what advantage and possibly what could, you know, with that kind of an attitude and with you're not living for the Lord and obeying His word today, if you're not doing that, that could cause other family members to lose their soul too. That's what it boils down to. Moses gives another reason. Human movements, tactics, and practices are not a sure thing, but the Word of God is. Deuteronomy, again, look. If you hear someone in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city. Let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword. The Jews were to safeguard the purity of the land by striking down and by destroying any practice that would lead them into disobedience, whatever it is, disobedience from God's word. Now look, I'm going to say it again. Here it is. He has given it to us. You cannot contradict it historically. Scientifically, it has been completely, totally shown to be true. It's the truth. Men who were beginning a movement into idolatry during that time, they were to be sought out and they were to be stopped immediately. Now you say, Steve, how does this apply to us? I think it applies to us clearly. Look at verse 17. So none of the accused things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy and have compassion on you. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all his commandments, which I command you today. Let me tell you how it applies to us today, ladies and gentlemen, okay? I've been in church a long time. Here's how it applies. Most church split-ups, divisions, occur over doctrinal differences. That means somebody is not obeying the word of God. Or rebellious grumblers, gossips, or factions among its members. And the mistake that is made by many leaders in the Lord's church is failing to act quickly and decisively and biblically in disciplining and cutting out the infected part to keep the church pure and to keep the church within the bounds of God's word. Obedience to the word is what determines what is right. Who should lead us? And who should be corrected? It is not a matter of opinion. From the very beginning until now and until Jesus Christ returns, and he will, the word of God is what we are to obey, plain and simple. Regardless of the signs, regardless of the pressures, regardless of the tactics, regardless of the practices, regardless of whoever may be involved in those things, Jesus tells us, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, same in the beginning with God. He came here to be the Word to mankind. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. So how do we obey? Deuteronomy chapters 4 through 8 teaches us, I think, God provides his word to guide us today and to protect us and to build us up. And he requires that we obey it. Nothing's changed. In his word, he outlines how we are to obey his commands. And there is a quality and a spirit of obedience that we should aspire to in order to please and show our love to God. Let me quickly go through these, shall I? Look at chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Do you recognize that verse in the New Testament? Does that come to mind? In the New Testament, the new covenant for which Jesus Christ gave us through the apostles in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we must not add to or subtract from God's word. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people. Obedience in God's sight involves reliance on revealed truth, not human logic. We are growing in spiritual maturity and insight when we understand this principle. We are growing in the perfection of God's word. Restoration and the New Testament church is not a man-made idea, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Bible idea. And that's why it's good. Look here. For what great nation in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? Listen to me. I heard something over the news, which I don't watch too much, but the people over in Jerusalem was talking about how God had opened up the Red Sea for them again. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We are the new Israel. We are God's people. The church of our Lord and Savior is the body of those believers and the children of God. And it doesn't matter whether you come from Israel or Iran or Egypt or wherever it is you come from, listen to me. You obey the word of God and you become God's people. Let us not forget. For whatever reason we may call upon him, and what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? And what great nation of people, ladies and gentlemen, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is closer to God than we are? We should be eager to obey the inspired word of God. It is a desire driven by the love of God, not a yoke or something that keeps us from doing what we really want to do. Our obedience should be an eagerness, that there should be an eagerness in it. It ought to be something we really want to do. What we really should want to do is obey the word, because there is nothing like it in the whole world, ladies and gentlemen. It is perfect. It is without spot and blemish. It is our Lord and Savior. It is perfect. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. I was fortunate to have a grandfather say that to me as he read from the scripture. And they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. We obey by teaching others to obey. Moms and dads, I'm telling you, I've said this from the pulpit before, I'm going to say it again. Your children are your primary evangelistic opportunities. Teach them. It is your responsibility. Teach them the words of Jehovah our God. Keep the word of God before them. And have them read it when they can read. Have them read it out loud. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the earth. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? Our obedience should teach us to conduct ourselves in a superior way to others. What in the world is he saying now? We ought not to be hypocrites, ladies and gentlemen, but if we want to obey, if we obey the word of God, our thoughts and actions will be holy because God is holy. And our thoughts and actions will be righteous. Of course, we should not be proud and we should not be embarrassed either, I don't believe, but rather dedicated completely to God's word. He says, be holy as I am holy. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply. God promises that obedience to his word will result in blessing and blessings to his people. His method and his promises have not changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. If we know and carefully follow his word and only his word, we too will be and are and will continue to be his people. And one day, in a world without sinful flesh or the presence of Satan, we will be so filled with the knowledge of the word of God that just as Christ existed in the form of the pure word through the Holy Spirit and became flesh for us, we who are now flesh, one day, through the power of that same Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God, will be transformed into a perfect reflection of that Word, Jesus Christ. We too will be perfect as He is perfect through the blood of our Savior. Let us leave here today convinced and convicted of three things. Three things. Obeying God's word is the most important thing we can do with our lives. The most important thing. Not what some preacher says, not what some priest says, not what some smart man says. Obeying God's word. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Obeying God's word, it is the beginning of our spiritual life and the guarantee of eternal life. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, but pass from death to life. God's word is the final judge of what is right and true. Look at John chapter 12. We just read it. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. No matter how young or old we are, we need to make a greater effort to learn and obey the word, as well as to teach it to others. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped or furnished to every good work. If we leave here with these three things, our time will have been profitable and you will have obeyed God's word. There may be some who need specifically to obey God's word this morning in repentance and in baptism, or to obey the call to be restored, if this is what the Lord is requiring of you. Why put it off? Why not just obey?
Obey the word of God. If you're subject to this invitation, would you come?
Five, four.